So okay, this is the second seminar on the topic, because the first one was instead of cosmology. So due to the fact that some people have not been to the first seminar, then I should repeat something which I told you during the first seminar shortly. Okay, in this talk I will tell about the method how to get exact numeric solution of quasi-particle or even few quasi-particles in the bath of elementary excitation. The plan of the talk is following. At first I will describe the technique on exact generation of the Matsubara-Green function of the quasi-particle in the boson bath in continuous imaginary time. Then I will describe the method of analytic continuation to the real energies, which differs from the method of maximal entropy and which is much better than the method of maximal entropy, which I will show you at some examples. Then I will tell something about generalization of the technique to the two-particle Green function, something like exciton. Then I will show several physical examples for which we have got exact numeric solution. And if I will have time, then I will tell about the quasi-particle in two bosonic buses. This is a particular example, is a TJ model in phonon field. Okay, let me start from the simplest thing in which we can demonstrate the technique itself. So let me have the polaron. The polaron is some quasi-particle with dispersion, then some bosonic bath, in this case phonon bath, and then there is quasi-particle interaction which scatters a particle due to creation and annihilation of the bosonic excitation. Although our technique is valid for arbitrary dispersion of the quasi-particle, arbitrary dispersion of the bosonic bath, and arbitrary vertex of the electron-phonon interaction, I will concentrate on the case of the Frölich polaron with a long-range interaction and the case of exciton polaron with a short-range interaction for physical examples. Although technique can be done for any case, for Holstein polaron with arbitrary dispersion, arbitrary phonon field, arbitrary vortex of interaction in any dimension. Okay, so with this Hamiltonian, which is in fact very simple if I consider expansion which one can get for Matsubara-Green function. Then one gets that expansion for the Matsubara-Green function for the case of quasi-particle Green function. It's just a number of integrals with ever-increasing number of terms. And all the quantities which enter this expansion are positively definite. So in Matsubara representation, quasi-particle function is just exponent, which is positively definite. Phonon propagator is exponent, and due to specific feature of the diagrammatic expansion for the Matsubara-Green function, all vertexes comes as squared, so there is no sign also. So all this sequence is positively definite. So if we consider, for example, some diagram with specific topology, say this diagram, then the generation of the dependence of the Green function on the imaginary time is well known in Monte Carlo, because it's just a generation of the dependence of the multidimensional integral on the external variable. So using different Monte Carlo updates and using the weight of diagram, okay, I should say first about the weight of diagram. The weight of this diagram, one should just multiply several electronic propagators which are written here, then multiply it by the weight which is due to phonon propagator, and then the square of two vertexes which correspond to this. So weight is well defined. It's always positively definite and well defined. So for one topologically equivalent diagram, it's just the generation of the multidimensional integral dependence on the external variable tau. However, if one look at the structure of diagram, then one can get that to generate all consequences and all orders of diagram, one should use only one update which change topology of the diagram, and this update is add and remove one more phonon propagate. So using these two kinds of updates which consider the change of the one topologically equivalent diagram and update which change the order of diagram, one can see that this generation of the Matsubara function has no any error. I mean, except numerical error which comes from the Monte Carlo, so it's not biased. So this is all done in continuous time, and there is no approximation in all in the generation of this sequence. Okay.
There is only one Feynman line right here.
Here.
So yeah. That's why there is no sign problem. If you have Feynman loops, then there will be...
Sure.
This problem.
If it is one particle, it's neither fermion, neither boson, because chemical potential is minus
particle,
infinity.
Right? Because it's one particle problem subject to bosonic mass.
Yes.
So there's no fermion
cycle. Sure. And I show some cases later with two lines, but it will be the case of exciton, and in this case, in some cases, there is no sign problem too.
Excuse me, could you tell a couple of words about convergence of this series?
Perfect. So what you're asking about, if you ask whether it converges, yes.
Always.
Always.
Single fermion program, it always converges.
Always. We tried even alpha equal 20, 25, whatever. So it's a very strong coupling regime. It still converges. There is no asymptotic behavior in this case. It's normal sequence. Of course, if one uses numeric techniques, then one suspects that something should converge, otherwise it's difficult to... Okay, so...
Clear why? Is after all, you're expanding the Green's function rather than the self-energy. Is it clear why this has simple convergence property?
Why?
Because it's single particle.
Yeah, I understand that, but...
For single particle.
Even for a single particle, in many cases, in many body theory, the structurally interacting problem is different from the non-interacting one, in which case...
Okay, if it will diverge, you will see it immediately. Because it's exact generation of the Matsubara Feynman sequence for the Matsubara Green function. If there is convergence, you will see it immediately.
This could be asymptotic, and you would not know this.
Nobody ever... proved and even guess that it will be asymptotic for the case of the polaron. For cases when this sequence is asymptotic, of course we cannot reach an answer because asymptotic series has no convergence. In this case, there is a perfect convergence. Yeah, there was a paper about analyticity of the polaron with respect to the coupling constant. It's more or less rigorous proof for this. Okay, so next, how one can extract some properties of the ground state. Of course, one needs not only ground state, but excited states, but first let us say something about ground state. So the Lehmann function for the quasi-particle at zero temperature is usually some delta function which corresponds to the quasi-particle pole, exact delta function. Then for the case of optic phonons, there is a gap which exactly corresponds to the energy of phonon, and then there is incoherent continuum, except the cases of self-trapping, which I will address later. So if cases there is no self-trapping phenomenon, then one expects the gap here. And if I look, one looks at the expansion of the Matsubara Green function, then due to this gap, one can see that if one goes to large enough imaginary time, then the contribution from the incoherent continuum gets exponentially small due to this gap. And then finally, if one reaches asymptotics, then one can see that, for example, logarithm of the Green function, it just comes to the asymptotical value. And then the slope of this Green function is nothing than the energy of polaron. And the intersection of this line with with the ordinate axis is just logarithm of that factor of the polaron. Okay, so by this method one can easily study weak coupling limit and intermediate coupling limit. But if one goes to the very large coupling, so large alpha, larger than 10, 15, then one gets that this factor is very small and it's difficult to study due to ill-defined statistic. However, in this case, one can use, I have to say, more involved technique and generate different things instead of generating the pure Green function for the quasi-particle. One can generate the Green function which has phonons which are attached to the ends of the Green function. So instead of generating pure quasi-particle Green function AP, AP prime, one generates when the quasi-particle was created together, it's cross here, together with several phonons, and was annihilated together with several phonons, and these phonons are subjected to momentum conservation. In this case, in one and the same Monte Carlo process, one generate Green function with different numbers of attached phonons attached to the end. And in principle, this generation or this kind of generation for the many phonon Green function gives possibility to get not only polaron energy, so the asymptotics for the Green function for large tau is getting to be proportional to the polaron energy over tau, which is forgotten to write here. And then the coefficient which comes near this exponent is nothing but the n phonon contribution to the wave function of the polaron cloud, which accompanies the polaron. So in this way, one can not only reach the very strong coupling limit, in which case the Z0, Z factor with zero phonons is almost zero, but also get information about the polaron cloud, about the wave function of the polaron cloud. Okay, so I told everything which one need in principle in the simplest technique modification to get the ground state properties. So next thing is to try to get something about excited state properties. So for example, one would like to study for zero temperature the spectral density, which is a Lehmann function. And spectral density, g from omega, is connected to imaginary tau Green function through this equation, which is a well-known ill-defined problem and which sometimes solved by the very popular method of maximal entropy problem. So next I would like to tell why we cannot use maximal entropy problem and why this method is not so good for solving of such problems. So let me tell about difficulties of the solving of this equation. So the main problem of this equation is so-called sawtooth noise instability. Okay, so instead of if one has the smooth spectral density, then instead of smooth spectral density, one gets this solution which is which reminds sawtooth noise, and this is a main instability. So in many methods, and in particular in maximal entropy method, this is solved by regularization. So to the right-hand side of the equation, there is added one functional, some functional which depends on the derivatives of the spectral density, and this spectral function suppresses the high derivatives. So in the case when, in case of quasi-particle, one has delta functional, so this delta functional cannot be reproduced very well because derivatives are suppressed, and delta function is just the infinite derivative. And the second drawback of the maximal entropy method is that it uses for solving of this equation the predefined discretization of the energy space. So if delta function comes between the points which are obtained due to predefined discretization, then the solution goes wrong. So I will tell shortly about the idea how we solve this. Everybody knows? Okay, so if everybody knows that, I skip this point. You think so? Okay. Okay, with this method I will show two examples. First example is for zero temperature. So, for example, we tried to reproduce and succeeded in the reproduction of the following example. There is a small delta function as a microwave of the order 10 to the minus 2. And then some broad spectrum, here is broad spectrum, which reach up to 2. So it's two orders of magnitude. So try to reproduce it by maximal entropy and you will fail. But anyway, we are able to reproduce perfectly both the small gap and also a very broad continuum. And the second example is just from the polaronic problem. So in that case, we use not the model spectrum, but the realistic polaronic model. So we get by Monte Carlo solution. By Monte Carlo, we got the imaginary time Green function, and here it should be delta function, which contains 99.5 spectral density. And then this kind of spectral density contains only 0.5% of the spectral density, but still we're able to reproduce and compare with the perturbation theory. And one more example, I can just have a few days to analyze some data which was given to me by Sasha Lichtenstein. So, and I have comparison how this data look like if one considers a maximal entropy method. So this is already the finite temperature, not zero temperature, but more difficult case of finite temperature. Unfortunately, I had not enough time, so for my processor, such spectral analysis, 2 gigahertz processor, it takes maybe 1 or 2 days, but here, due to slow machines, it would take 20 days, and I had only 3, but however, even now, I can see the features which can be resolved by our method and which cannot be resolved by maximal entropy method. So in these figures, so let me start from the tight binding. So there are 2 tight binding bands. And these bands, due to multi-particle interaction, interact with each other. So, and here, upper panel and lower panel, there are spectra, and this spectra, just comparison between results of the maximal entropy method and the very bad statistic of our method due to lack of time. Okay, so one can see that there are zone edges in the function in the tight binding without multi-particle effect. If one look at the results of the maximal entropy method, which is a broken line in both.
Just to understand, the exercise is to do maximum entropy and apply your method to the quantum Monte Carlo data or to the tight binding data?
No, to quantum Monte Carlo. So these are the same data. The same data I got from Sasha Lichtenstein, the same data, which we used for the maximal spectral analysis.
Okay.
Absolutely the same.
So why is it important, the tight binding density states?
Because I will show that there are features which were lost by maximal entropy method, and which I can see. Okay, so if we look at the maximal entropy result, which is broken line in both cases, then we can see that in principle, as for lowest energy peak, both methods works nearly the same. So there are 3 peaks. In my case, in case of my method, these peaks are more sharp a little bit. But this is not the main thing. Let us see that maximal entropy method cannot resolve many features. First of them, look at the band edge here. And look how goes the maximal entropy method. So it's just smooth curve. However, at the same energy which corresponds to this band edge, we see this band edge, of course, with a low statistics or lack of time for generation. But anyway, both in this subband and in this subband, we see the edge which corresponds to the bare band. Also, the same we can say about these two band edges. So there are band edges 0.5 and 0.75. And still there is low.
I don't understand what the difference is between the two panels here and what they are ideally supposed to be looking like.
Upper panel and lower panel are corresponds to the multi-particle simulation of the this band which is presented by solid line and this band which is presented by broken line. Mm-hmm. However, due to multi-particle...
What's it look like, the dash curve or like the solid curve in the
so forget about dashed and solid, because here the two bands are presented by dashed and solid. And in this panel, by dashed line, it is presented the maximal entropy result. And by points, low statistic result of our spectral analysis. So of course one can see this batch end only in die binding only for this band, but due to multi-particle effects these two bands are mixed, and then due to this reason one can see this band edges in both band spectrum. So one can see that in this simple example that maximal entropy method for finite temperature just lost several features, just as the band edges, one more peak, which is just smoothing out by the maximal entropy method. Unfortunately, I had no time to get a good statistic due to time limitation.
I guess the answer to the first question is we don't know what these things really ought to be looked like because we don't have an exact solution. Okay.
But anyway.
But you believe that since the curves are from some EMFT calculation with that bare density of states, you think it's reasonable to have features
yes.
in these places, and therefore you think that your method is better.
Okay.
Okay.
So, because why I did this calculation? Because I could show you the model examples. But with model example, everybody say, okay, in your model example, you have no real noise from Monte Carlo, so you should compare the Monte Carlo with real noise and without real noise and so forth. So here is just example when I compare the maximal entropy data for the same set of real Monte Carlo data for imaginary Green function. And I see that I can resolve feature, and this feature is in reasonable position, which were lost by the maximal entropy method. So some discussion. So let's we go to physics. So after we've finished with the technique. Time to go to physics. So first example is a Frohlich polaron. So for Frohlich polaron for the ground state properties, you see that we could reach alpha up to 20, so it's no problem for us to reach alpha 50, but it's not necessary because it's an unrealistic case. So in that case, we calculated the energy of the Feynman polaron, so points are now data, and this circles are due to Feynman variational function. So of course our solution is lower by energies and functional variational function of Feynman. So here are average number of phonons which accompany polaron dependence on alpha. So here is a wave function. So this is a number of phonons in the phonon cloud which accompanies the polaron. So for alpha equal 1, it's just centered at the zero number of phonons. Then when increasing alpha, one can see separation of the peak, and for large alpha, it's already some Gaussian which is centered around 60. So 60 is a typical number of phonons which accompany the polaron for large energies. Okay, next thing, so what we didn't find here, we didn't find for Frohlich polaron any kind of self-shaping phenomenon. And actually it was predicted by Rush Batoyazawa theorem that it should be no any self-shaping phenomenon. However, when we change the long-range interaction for the Frohlich polaron for the short-range, for the Rush Batoyazawa exciton, then in that case we can see the perfect example of the self-shaping phenomenon. So at first, a few words, what people consider the self-shaping phenomenon is, and what is the belief which was concerned the self-shaping phenomenon. So if one consider dependence of the polaron energy from the coupling constant, then if one look at the dependence on the energy on alpha, then one see the sharp turn of the energy. And it is believed that this is due to the fact that there is one excited level, and nearly this crossing point, which corresponds to the critical alpha, there is avoided crossing phenomenon, and then due to hybridization, then one changes the states of the polaron. So if one look at the average number of phonon, then this state, which is heavily loaded by phonon, and this is almost free state. And then if one look at the dependence for the ground state, for the average number of phonons, then one see strong downturn of the average number of phonons, which correspond to the crossing of the two states, which is strongly deformed and which is weakly deformed. And if we look at the polaronic mass, then the mass has quick upturn here. So I would like to emphasize that according to classical picture of self-trapping phenomenon, which one can read for any review by Rajbhatt, Toyazawa, or whatever, there should be one level which hybridizes with the ground state, one and only one level. So what we found when we studied the realistic example by our exact technique, so it's not a model example, not model solution by some thing, and this is numerically exact solution. So we took case of the polaron, the same classical polaron, continuous polaron, but with only short-range interaction which correspond to the SS scattering of the exciton. Okay, if we look at the ground state properties, then we see the classical picture of the self-trapping. Strong downturn of the energy, strong increase of the average number of phonons, and then huge decrease of the effectiveness. But
how do you determine the average number of phonons?
Sorry?
How do you determine the average number of phonons? Do you have to evaluate separately all these multi-phonon Green functions?
As I told in the beginning, we calculate the Green function together with attached phonons. So this gives possibility to get the wave function which corresponds to the cloud which accompanies the exciton. In this case, if one has these numbers, one can easily evaluate the average number of phonons. However, when we looked at the properties of the Lehmann function, then we see that instead the ground state just demonstrates the classical features of the self-trapping phenomenon. Then the excited states gives us puzzle which goes orthogonal to the belief that the self-trapping phenomenon is due to crossing of two levels. So we analyze the spectral densities for different coupling, and then what we see. So here's the ground state. Here is the threshold which corresponds to the energy of one phonon. So according to belief of the self-trapping theory, then it should be crossing of two levels. But however, we can discern that in this case, there is crossing more than two levels. So one can see that at least three levels are involved, and some fourth level is shoved from the continuum. So the basic belief of the self-trapping theory is that self-trapping occurs due to the crossing of two levels just fails in this case. And this means that this assumption, which was basic for the self-trapping theory, is incorrect if one looks at the exact solution for this particular case.
Perhaps you could get those higher levels, exactly from the left-hand side, from the spectral.
Okay, so we just make analytic continuation of the Green function to the real energies. So there is one level which corresponds to polaron. Then one more delta function, first excited level, second delta function, and then after threshold one, it appears to be a continuum. And for different coupling, we see one, two, three, four. So maybe this corresponds to this point. One, two, three, four, and then threshold.
And do you have a physical picture of roughly what the first excited level is? I mean, is this just a
Unfortunately, no.
Okay.
Because if I look to the self-trapping theory, then what I see is that there should be two and always two levels. Okay. Here I see more.
What are those two levels? Those two levels? Is that understood?
Sorry?
What is physically going on in the two levels of the self-trapping theory?
In two levels. So one level considered to be as a level with high lattice deformation, with strong lattice deformation. And ground state level considered to be as with a small lattice deformation. Then when one increases alpha, then two level crosses, exchanges due to the hybridization, and then ground state level is the level with a strong lattice deformation, and excited level is vice versa, the level with a small lattice deformation. So one can see it if one looks at the average number of phonons. So there is like crossing of two levels. But we have no interpretation, because if we try to look at any theory, there should be crossing of two levels, and there is no interpretation, and we see that more than two levels are involved.
You tell the number of phonons in those higher levels. Changes?
Unfortunately, when I would like to calculate the wave function for some level, I can use only a ground state, because for ground state I could go to asymptotic and then just to project out excited state. So I always could tell you about the wave function of the ground state.
Okay.
Of course, there are tricks, but we didn't try it. Just, for example, we can remove the asymptotics and then try new asymptotics for the next level, but we didn't do it.
There are no symmetry differences between these.
I don't know. I can analyze on the ground state.
No, but you could.
And as for excited state, I can get the analytic continuation from the zero Fourier grain function and get all the poles. I have no answer what is the wave function for the excited state. I can show you the Green function for the ground state. Unfortunately, I have no picture, but I could give you an idea. It looks like in the following case that for small coupling, there is the usual with the dominance of the zero phonon state. For strong coupling, there is a Gaussian with some large number of phonons. And just near this crossing point, we can see two peak structure, which correspond to the hybridization of the level with a small lattice deformation and strong lattice deformation. Unfortunately, I have no numeric pictures, but they looks like in this way.
That's consistent with two levels.
Yeah, it's two levels. But if you look at the picture, which correspond to behavior of this level, then one can see that this hybridization is not only due to two levels. Of course, if this level would be very high and would be very smooth like this level, then I can say, okay, this is some level which do not take part in this hybridization. But we see, according to energy dependence, that all three levels are mixed.
Can you think of these levels as, let's say, electron makes a deformation potential?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Wait a second. And this deformation potential, you know, there could be several discrete electron levels in principle, right? So in other words, you can have potential there is only one bound state, but you could have potential there is more than one bound state.
Unfortunately, I can think in terms of the adiabatic potential only in case of the extremely high strong coupling. Mm-hmm. As for intermediate coupling, the picture of a diabetic potential doesn't work, so I cannot say in so simple way. Okay, I can say some blah 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 about this, but anyway, you would say you would understand that adiabatic potential is not a proper thing to.
And in any case, in that level, in that limit, you have only one state trapped. I mean, in this adiabatic limit, you have only one state trapped. The self-consistent solution gives you only one trapped.
Yeah, not really, because this is for one-dimensional Holstein polaron for strong coupling, there is exact solution which made by Melnikov maybe 10 years ago. And in that case, there is infinite number of levels which are trapped in the adiabatic potential. But unfortunately, this exact solution exists only for one-dimensional case and for extremely strong coupling limit. As for intermediate case, there is no solution.
Wait, what is the three-dimensional simulation, the three-dimensional?
Three-dimensional continuous polaron with short-range coupling.
Uh-huh. And if you do this simulation in one dimension, can you compare with exact analytical solution?
I didn't do this. I did it for Holstein polaron, but still have not completed the work. Because there are much more interesting examples, so let's finish with this subtracting.
Can I ask a short question? If you change the cutoff of the potential, range of potential, how does the critical interaction strength
at
which the trapping appears, how does that change the range?
The smaller the range of potential, the smaller the critical constant to get to self-trapping, according to general theory. As for ground state, everything goes according to general theory.
Okay.
So nothing. So if one look at the excited states, then one is puzzled. Okay, what we could do next with this technique is just to look at the example of the exciton and get exact solution for the exciton in case of the broadband. So in case, this is potential, conduction band, valence band, and this is the interaction potential. So if one has something from the band structure, realistic calculations, realistic values for this conduction, valence band, and critical potential, you can just give me, because for me it's all the same. I mean, this conduction, all these properties, Q, K prime dependence is all the same. It works for any dependence of the interaction vortex. So if one has broad band, then one can neglect the polarization correction. And then the quasi-particle, two-particle grain function is just nothing but column ladder, which can be summed, this Feynman diagram can be summed in the same way as the case of the Froelich polaron by the same Monte Carlo method. The only restriction is this potential should be attractive, because if this potential is repulsive, then one has a sign fluctuation and the technique doesn't work anymore. So we did some calculation for exciton, and in that case we can get approximation-free solution. So when we just trace the limit from Frankel case to the Vanier case, then what we can get else? We can get the wave function for the relative movement of the particles in the momentum space, and then making the Fourier transform, we can get the envelope function for the exciton without any approximation in real space. So, for example, for the Vanier case, it's like the hydrogen function. For the Frankel case, it's just all charge is situated in the near neighbor, so there is Frankel exciton. And in intermediate case, one can see something intermediate between these two. So this is wave function of the relative distance of the hole from the electron. And if one takes some exotic band structure, which, for example, studied a lot of times for the mixed valence system, then one can get a very exotic envelope function. So, for example, for such kind of the band structure, one can get charge transfer exciton. So one can see that it's almost zero density on the same side, and the maximum of charge is situated on the near neighbors. So next thing. So what we also studied by our technique. So I will not tell a lot. So this is the case of the pseudo-ion telepolaron. In this case, one has two bands of the quasi-particle. Possibility for quasi-particle can propagate through the two bands within the phonon bus. And then interaction constants contain the process which scattered the quasi-particle within one band as well as within different, between two different bands. In this case, technique should be modified a little bit, but only modifications that one should introduce two colors for the green function. So if it is changed from the one band state 1-1 to the state 2, then one should change the propagator from the green function which corresponds to one level to the green function which corresponds to second level. So in this case, there are 16 topologically different classes of diagrams, and the rays can be handled very easily just by careful selection of the update processes. So in that case, if one has two levels, then one can forget about Drasch-Batoyazawa theorem that self-trapping is impossible in one dimension. And if one has two levels, then one can easily show that the self-trapping is possible for one dimension. So in this case, energy has strong downturn, average number of phonons immediately grows, and then one has two peak structures. So for this case, we have no results for excited states because we didn't do the spectral analysis. And maybe last thing I would like to tell, maybe I will skip our results about TGA model in the phonon field due to time limitation. Okay, I will show something. I would like to say very interesting thing, so maybe it will be interesting for field theorists. So look at the Frölich-Gamilton. So one cannot expect nothing but the scale which corresponded to the unity. So for example, effective mass is unity, phonon energy is unity. So everything is unity. And then one could tell, if I will say you, there is a magic number 4 for the Frölich polaron. So from which hell does this number 4 comes? So how first we suspected that there is a magic number 4? Okay, when we look at the Lehmann function, excitation spectrum, which correspond to the Lehmann function for the Frölich polaron, then when we come for very strong coupling, then behavior of the spectral function become to be strange. Okay, here is a delta function which is not shown here. Then for alpha equal 4, one can see initial peak, then one more peak at the energy 4. Then for larger coupling, one can see two peaks with the energy 4 and 8. Then for even stronger couplings, and again, 4, 8, and one more peak appear. So what is the number 4 for Frohlich polaron? Of course, you can say, okay, this is Lehmann function, which has some artificial features at the number of phonons, which corresponds to 4. So, and to be convinced that this number 4 really matters, let me take another calculation. So in this case, we would like to calculate different property, which is optical conductivity of Frohlich polaron. So of course, optical conductivity is just connected by the analytic continuation with the current-current correlation function, and for one particle, current-current correlation function is nothing but momentum-momentum correlation, velocity-velocity correlation function. So just calculating this momentum-momentum correlation function and making the analytic continuation, and then considering this relation which connects this Q from omega to the optical conductivity, we can get the optical response of Frohlich polaron and any polaron. So maybe I skip details, have to calculate the current-current correlation function. But anyway, so in much features, it's very similar to the calculation of the Green function. So what we've got. Okay, for weak coupling limit, we have perturbation theory, so we can compare that it goes very well according to perturbation theory. Then for alpha equal 1, our results, of course, deviate from the perturbation theory, but were very well similar to the results of De Vries, which calculated up to fourth order. Then for alpha equal 3, we have nobody to compare because perturbation theory doesn't work and strong coupling theory doesn't work. So let's we go to the case for the strong coupling theory where at least there is some result which comes from the works of 20 years old of De Vries, so variational theory of so-called relaxed excited states. So we continue to calculate, and then by our spectral methods, we can resolve any tiny features. For example, this is one phonon limit. This is beginning of two phonon processes. This is one more beginning of three phonon processes. So these features is not the noise from the numeric continuation. These features correspond to the thresholds for the many phonon processes which we can see by our analysis. So we look at this peak and its behavior, and then we see that alpha equals 6, this upper peak become to be doubled. Why it's so important? Before I will show the data for larger coupling, I just would like to say that there is a theory, variational strong coupling theory of De Vries, which says, okay, for strong coupling, starting from something like 6, there appears only one strong peak in the polaronic optic response, and this peak, this red line, behaves in this way. Okay, since we see in our pictures one peak, so this peak is always nearly one and very strong, so let us compare with the variational theory by De Vries. And we see that for intermediate coupling, our peak goes more or less according to the theory of De Vries, this variational theory in the strong coupling limit. But then if we look at the larger couplings, then we can see that if we increase coupling, this peak can be seen that there are two Gaussians, it just splits. And if we look at the picture of the splitting of this peak, then we can see that the peaks more or less goes according to the prediction of the variational strong coupling theory of De Vries, and it splits for larger coupling. But let us look at the energy at which this peak splits. It's again the same magical number 4, which we observed in the different property, in the Lehmann function. So just compare these two figures and be excited, because if you would like to ask me what is the reason for this, I would tell you I don't know. Because we have the Hamiltonian, and this Hamiltonian contain all energy of the order of unity. So why it is some 4 present, I don't know. But just look at the Lehmann function, which develops the peaks at 4, 8, multiple of 4. And look at the optical response, which obeys very well are the Friis variation of strong coupling theory until it reaches energy 4, and then it splits. So I have no idea what is the reason for this number 4, but I have two indications of this magical number 4 in the Frohlich Foveron. So, real theoretician, you are welcome to explain this property, because Monte Carlo is like experimental physics. It's an experiment with the Hamiltonian, when one can get some exact solution, but don't know what is the reason for this exact solution. So the last thing, maybe a few words, because time is running up, about TJ model with phonons. Okay, I should not say anything about TJ model, because everybody knows here what is TJ model. The only way, only what I would like to say is that what we shall use, this is a spin wave approximation. So this is not any more exact solution. This is solution with our technique within the spin wave approximation. In that case, one can make the analytic canonical transformation from the case of exact model to the case of the spin wave approximation. And within the spin wave approximation, one just left with the interaction of quasi-particle with a magnon bus. So this is a quasi-particle energy. This is the energy of the magnon bus. And this is just the same scattering Hamiltonian which corresponds to the Frohlich interaction, so it's nearly the same. The only problem is with the coupling constant alpha, which depends both on K and Q, so one cannot use the simple technique which was used for Frohlich Polaron, because coupling constant depends on the two quantities, on Q and on K. And so this technique is not sign definite anymore, and there are sign fluctuations. However, one can add the whole phonon interaction, so which has no this difficulty. So this constant could be dependent only on Q, not on K. So there is no problem when we consider the TJ model and the spin wave approximation with phonons, because as for phonons, this technique is always positively definite. But there is a problem with the magnons, because interaction constants depends on K and Q, and this is why technique becomes to be sign unstable. Okay, however, if one use the non-crossing approximation, a non-crossing approximation in fact is equivalent to the self-consistent Born approximation. So if one use self-consistent Born approximation for magnons, then there is no sign problem, because each vortex which appear comes to the electronic propagator with the same number K. So all the vortex comes as a square, so there is no sign problem if one uses non-crossing or which is equivalent to self-consistent Born approximation. However, as for phonons, one can treat phonons in a more exact way. So if we introduce phonons, so phonons in this case are blue propagators, then we can allow the crossing of phonons with itself, because there is no sign problem. The only thing we should forbid is the crossing of phonon by the magnon light. In this case, again, the sign problem appears. So finally, what we can do is just to calculate TJ model in the phonon with the interaction of the hole with the phonons, with a self-consistent Born approximation for the magnons, and being more honest and just including some vertex correction from the interaction with magnons. As for self-consistent Born approximation with respect to magnons, it is shown that for J over T, which is lesser comparable to 0.3, this works quite well by comparison with the exact diagonalization of the small system. And as for phonons, I will show you that it's quite very important to use the vertex correction for phonons, otherwise result will be not very great. So what we can do, we can just reproduce results which were done in self-consistent Born approximation, and we see perfect correspondence, with some exceptions that all self-consistent Born approximation studies were done in the finite system, and here we are in the thermodynamic limit. And then we can ask a question. And this question was put by many people. The question is the following. if one has a hole which does not interact with magnons, and one has some level of the electron-phonon interaction, then the question is whether the role of the hole-phonon interaction will be enhanced or suppressed by the interaction hole with magnons. So when many people, including Anderson, including quantum Hall effect,
Laughlin,
they say, okay, all the electron hole, phonon hole interaction will be suppressed by the interaction with magnon. So let us see whether this is true. Due to my introduction, I understand that this is not true. Okay, I will show you. Okay, let me take two-dimensional Holstein polaron. So with t equal 1 as usually, and some phonon with 0.1 is some complex coupling constant which is defined. And let me look for which value of interaction constant there will be critical turn to the strong coupling limit. So in this case, just using these parameters, and here our solution is exact. It's not TJ model with phonons, which is approximate solution due to canonical transformation. So we see that it changes to the strong coupling limit at 0.5. So let me.
What are the two curves, the black and the
green? Black is a self-consistent Born approximation, because also Bob Laughlin told me many times that in principle all polaron physics can be done within the self-consistent Born approximation. So in principle there are only numerical differences, but actually the results will be basically the same. So this curve is an exact solution within vortex correction.
Which model?
Holstein polaron, two-dimensional. T equal 1, phonon frequency equals 0.1.
Okay, so there's no TJ.
No TJ.
Okay.
I would like to compare this solution with TJ. Okay. And since you asked about what does it mean, these two curves, so this curve which corresponds to the red circles is exact solution with a vertex correction. And then it's very easily to mimic within our technique the self-consistent Born approximation. So you can see that here transition to the strong coupling limit comes at 0.5. And I did the same calculation within the self-consistent Born approximation. So here's dimension 3. I continued calculation up to, not enough space, up to 50. But there is still no turn to the strong coupling regime. So it means that for Frohlich polaron, the self-consistent Born approximation is nothing but pathological thing. It cannot capture any feature. So it is the same within TJ model. So if one try to, and there are many papers, we just generated TJ model which the hole interacts with magnon, with phonons using self-consistent Born approximation. So my answer on this is this is pathological regime. So one cannot get anything right using self-consistent Born approximation. So let me return to the first question. So we discussed already the possibility to apply self-consistent Born approximation for phonons. So let me turn back to the question. Whether the interaction with magnons will increase or decrease the influence of the phonons to the spectrum of the TJ model. So just we shall remember that 0.5 is a critical coupling at which it usual Holstein polaron without interaction with magnons comes to the strong coupling limit. So if we look to the TJ model within the same parameters, T equal 1, omega equals 0.5, and J over T equal 0.3, which is consistent with the experiment, then we see that for G equals 0.2, it's already dispersionless excitation, I mean the ground state pole. So it means that for coupling constant, which is 3 times less than the critical coupling constant for the Holstein polaron to come to the strong limit, already the polaron which is propagating the TG model is already in the strong coupling limit. So our answer is the following. So whole interaction with magnons increase the influence of the whole phonon interaction to the model. So, and here you could ask me, what is the reason, physical reason for this? And fortunately here I understand what is going on. So if we look to the energy dispersion which correspond to the Holstein polaron within this model T equal 1 omega equals 0.1, then the whole bandwidth of the bare excitation is not 0.6 like for TGA model, but 8. So it means that it's much more broad band. And it's known that the more broad is the band, the less the influence of the electron hole interaction to the properties of the quasi-particle. However, in case of TGA model, the band is already narrow due to interaction with magnons. And in this case, of course, the strength, the influence of the electron-phonon interaction will be larger in case of the hole which is interacting with magnons. So here I would like to finish. There are many other things by which we can explain the experimental results, why people see the broad feature instead of narrow line, and why this broad feature disperses according to the TG model. But unfortunately, I have no figures, so if you like, I can just write on the blackboard to explain what is going on. But anyway, it seems to me that I spoke a lot of time, and I would like to finish with some conclusion which you can read from this transparency. So thank you for your attention.
Question, some kind of technical question goes to the beginning of the talk when you are drawing. If you can put one of the first transparencies,
first
the green function, you know, if one of the function was the original function of the first time.
Difficult question.
The question basically is the following. Do we kind of, from anybody problem with Fermi surface, right? Fermi sun, Fermi surface. And that's usually because chemical potential is collections, I mean. Yes. That's what happens very high. There was chemical potential for reactions, right? And chemical potential is like Fermi energy, so if it's positive, it should have a Fermi C, right? The question is, how do you enforce the condition if you have only one reaction rather than Fermi C of reactions?
And in that case, there is no chemical potential, it is an infinity.
It was mu, there was a parameter mu.
Okay, this parameter is nothing but artificial parameter for the better convergence. Uh-huh. So when you determine the energy, you just subtract this chemical potential, which is artificial one. Moreover, for better convergence, you can consider your chemical potential, which depends on imaginary time. Just for better convergence, that your Green function very fast drops very quickly, then you can consider this as function of tau. But then you should always extract this artificial chemical potential. So this chemical potential has no any physical meaning.
My question basically is the following: that if you put the general Green function, right, in Matsubara formalism, and then let's say go to limit of zero temperature. I mean, from finite temperature, but take limit to zero temperature.
Then for one particle?
No. I mean, if you take it, just write electron Green function, which is, which is basically what you wrote, epsilon minus mu t, right? This is an electron Green function, and non-interaction electron Green function. And then I go to limit of zero temperature, what's the bar formula? Then I know that for energies below mu, which is Fermi energy, I have occupation number one, and above I have occupation number zero, right? So mu tells me, mu is a Fermi energy. So mu is not artificial parameter, it's a very, very, very extremely important physical parameter.
For many particles, but for one particle in the band.
But my question is, how the formalism, tells the difference between many particle and single particle cases?
For many particles, we should determine different Green function. So for one particle, you just put chemical potential to minus infinity, again, forget about it.
Yeah,
and for many particle case, of course, your definition of the Green function is just different.
Right. So So point is, yes, you change the sign of mu then, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the point is the sign of mu is whatever, negative or whatever.
Yeah, it's negative. Minus infinity.
Okay, so then if fermion energy is negative, then we don't have any C action. Right? And that's current forces.
Yes. Of course, for Fermi energy, I have two poles in the Green function, plus E delta minus E delta, but here I have only one pole.
Right, because the chemical potential.
Yes.
My question is related to the previous part. So basically, if I look at this perturbation series, I can immediately tell that it's a single particle perturbation series, because the phonon propagators are not normalized. Whereas
of course,
we have many
of course.
Particles. Then there appear these bubble diagrams.
Sure.
That normalize the phonon.
Sure.
In that respect, when you treat the TJ model, you apparently consider
one hole.
Yeah, but it's a hole
one.
In Fermi C. And, another hole plus an excited electron can appear out of the Fermi C due to the interaction with phonons. You apparently.
There is no such term in my Hamiltonian. I would like to show you the Hamiltonian. If you find any term in this Hamiltonian, okay, if you write down different Hamiltonian, then I am ready to discuss with you the appearance of the different bundles for whole particle excitation or whatever. But when I write the Hamiltonian, I just mean this Hamiltonian, and I make expansion within this Hamiltonian.
Andrei, you mean that this is approximate?
It's approximate from the very beginning because I use the canonical transformation.
It's distinct from the magnum approximation.
Yeah. As I told about previous models, so all these previous models are exact solutions for the Hamiltonian. So as for TG model, I just made the reservation from the very beginning. So this is not exact solution, but it is much better solution which was done for the self-consistent Bohr approximation with respect to phonons. So here is the Hamiltonian. So there is no such term about you tell about within this Hamiltonian. No. So first approximation is canonical transformation from the TG model to the spin wave approximation.
Yeah, it's
of
not
course.
True because the very last term, the one in the whole phonon Hamiltonian.
This conserves a number. So this is whole. And this is only one whole, which is scattered. If you would write this whole particle excitation, then you should take into account only. But there is no such term in this Hamiltonian.
Basically,
you say if I would write down the different Hamiltonians that I should make the different diagrammatic technique, of course. But for this Hamiltonian, there is no particle hole channel. Please show me where.
Well, this very term.
This is a scattering of the hole. Scattering of the hole. Which conserves the number of hole. Please show me the term which create one more hole particle excitation. If you write it down one more term, then I agree, different diagrammatic technique. But please show me how this term in the Hilbert space can create particle hole excitation.
Well, this term tells you that if you start.
It tells me, but just show me the matrix element.
The question is not here, the question is the previous line, the epsilon k for here, dispersion for h, okay? So for polynomial problem, this electron sits at the bottom of the conduction band, because Fermi energy is zero, so it is at the bottom of the conduction band. Now, the hole in the, in a half field band.
There is one hole. So this is one particle. The consideration are absolutely the same.
For dispersion, this
hole. In the TG model, there is no dispersion, as you know. It's only T prime and T2 prime term gives a dispersion. In the TG model, there is no possibility for propagation of hole without exciting of the phonon, of the magnum. There is no dispersion. And actually.
So what do you put exactly for epsilon?
One, zero, one. Minus two,
so
whatever.
Dispersionless.
So if I consider T prime, T2 primes.
Is it excitation energy? One is the energy taken to excite a hole. One is, it's energy.
Yes, it's energy.
It's measured to zero, relative to zero.
You can measure it, whatever. So you just take the antiferromagnet, and then you remove one hole.
But that's with energy, finite energy.
Finite energy, you could put it as this energy origin.
Energy gap, some sort of energy gap. Okay, so you work at the energy, at the bottom of the energy gap, and your hole is dispersionless originally.
Yeah, in the TG model, of course, is dispersion. If I consider T prime, T2 prime model, of course, there is dispersion. And for me, it's not absolutely necessary that the hole in the bottom in conduction band. When you just try to come to the one particle limit in the any kind of the green function that your definition changes and your chemical potential is minus one. It doesn't matter whether it's a single particle in the band or this is a whole, one hole in the band. So this question is groundless, whether I would like to make the bubbles because there are no bubbles in this Hamiltonian. You can say I am wrong and just so you should put one more term to the Hamiltonian. There is no such term here. Sure, we did it, but without phonons.
And it's a sign problem.
Sign problem, what we managed to handle with it.
Okay.
In that case, we.
Okay. So
I just skipped.
Question, yeah, just let's
sorry for long seminar.